Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Siegel, and today we will be studying Tehillim Mizmar Kuf Chaf Zayin 127. We're continuing on in the songs of the Shirei HaMa'alos, the songs of ascents. Remember, these songs were sung in the Beis HaMikdash, on the steps in the Beis HaMikdash. Some of these were sung by the people going to the Beis HaMikdash, and we, in Golos, in our exile, still sing these songs today in our quest to ascend great heights while we wait to return to the Beis HaMikdash. So as we're going to Yerushalayim, and as we're working on our spiritual ascension, we contemplate life, and of course, these lofty ideas come into our heads. But at the same time, who can help but think about our daily lives, our houses, our family issues, our work issues, parnasa, what we're concerned about, our safety? That's what totally encompasses our mind so often. So what this mizmor does is helps us to contemplate our daily life and our daily concerns and use it to elevate ourselves. This song is one of the few songs that isn't a tefillah, it isn't a reflection of nature, of praising God, but it's rather a hardcore lesson for us to hear and to understand and to incorporate into our lives. We begin with a message about building a house and then supporting our house and protecting our house. Rabbi Hirsch explains that what we will see in this song is that we can only do the efforts, meaning we can only pave the way to our goal, because ultimately it is Hashem who decides or determines what happens. As we've said before, the outcome is in the hands of Hashem. The process is in our hands. And with that, let's begin the song. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Shir HaMalos L'Shlomo. A song of ascents to Shlomo. Why is David singing this for Shlomo? Because David is writing this very shortly after he finds out that he will not be building the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. David was always so excited about building the temple. He did whatever he could. And then the prophet tells him, you are not going to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. It will be built by your son. And what David realizes is that he can make all the efforts to build the Beis HaMikdash, to build the temple, but if Hashem doesn't want him to do it, it won't happen. And as he gives over the charge to Shlomo, he begins with a warning that you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash, or really any house or project, without divine approval and assistance. Let's see it in the pasuk. Im Hashem lo yivne bayis. If Hashem doesn't build the house, shav amlu bonav bo, all its builders will toil in vain. And then he continues, it's not just only building the house. Im Hashem lo yishmar ir, if Hashem doesn't guard a city, shav shakad shomer, in vain is the watchman vigilant. You could have a million soldiers guarding the city, but if Hashem doesn't want the city to be protected, it will not be. As we listen to this directive, we can't help but nod with our heads. Of course, we understand that if God doesn't want the city to be protected, it won't be protected. If God doesn't want us to make this happen, it won't happen. We always say, Be'ezras Hashem, with God's help, we will, and then we finish the sentence. Or Imirtz Hashem, if Hashem wants it, then it will happen. But now, as we're nodding our heads, agreeing with the one who is giving us a strong directive, Pasuk Beis, verse 2, notice how the language is turning, and the language turns now to second person. Shav lachem mashkimei kum. It's vain for you who wake up early, me'acharei sheves, and stay up late, ochle lechem ha'atzavim, and eat the bread of sorrow. You're worried and worried and worried. It's worthless. So if you agree with me that it's imirtz Hashem, it's only going to happen if Hashem wants, or be'ezras Hashem, with Hashem's help, why is it that you're making yourself crazy? You're constantly worried. You're never feeling accomplished. Why do you act like this? Cain, because yitain lidido sheina. He gives his beloved sleep. Sheina is written as Shin Nun Aleph from the language of Sha'anan, undisturbed rest. Hashem will give you an opportunity to relax, but you're so busy working and you don't sleep. You can't sleep because you're so worried, but you can sleep. People who are Yedidei Hashem, who feel this connection with God, will work, and then they will rely on Hashem and be able to go to sleep. Sometimes what happens is we're working, and then we try to go to sleep, but we really can't go to sleep because we're worried about all the things that we did that we have to do. It's not supposed to be like this. Let's think of a great example from David HaMelech, and we'll see this in the Tehillim of Perek Gimel. Just a little bit of background. David HaMelech is running away from his son Avshalom, who wants to kill him and usurp his throne. And he says the following in Perek Gimel of Tehillim. Mara butzarai, rabim kamim alai. I have so many tzaros. There are so many that are coming up against me. And there were so many who were coming up against him. But he continues, ani shachafti v'ishana. I lie down and I will go to sleep because Hashem yismacheni, because Hashem will support me. And that's the key. He was able to sleep in the height of his being pursued because he understood that Hashem yismacheni, Hashem is surrounding and supporting him. Now the Meiri explains here that it doesn't mean that someone should not have to make the effort because Hashem is going to take care of him. Rather, it means that we do our hishtadlut. We make our efforts. We do the best we can, and then we let go and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu finish up the job and do what he wants to and have what he wants to have happen in our lives. Of course, we want a direction book, a very clear instruction of exactly how much I have to do and when I have to do it and what I have to do, and then when Hashem will come and do his part. But that's not how life works. We do the best we can. We follow the mitzvos. We follow the directives that we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God is showing us. And then we need to be able to stop and say, okay, Hashem, I'm going to sleep because I know you're surrounding me and you're supporting me. Rashi translates this phrase a little bit differently. Kein yitein lidido sheina, he who shakes off his sleep to be his yedid, to be God's partner to learn Torah, that person Hashem will help with Parnassa. Sometimes people are so busy with Parnassa that they don't have time to learn. And what this pasuk is saying, if someone is not sleeping, that's how anxious they are to learn Torah, Hashem will take care of their Parnassa. So in any way that you look at it, basically what we're saying is this: Hashem is our partner. And if Hashem wants your project to be successful, if Hashem wants you to have that Parnassa, and you're doing what you need to be doing, you will be taken care of by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you do a project, if you build a house, and you don't do it with following God's will, that project, that house may seem very successful at the moment, but its success will not be lasting. And in fact, Rashi brings down the Gemara that says that the night before the Beis HaMikdash was dedicated, Shlomo married the daughter of Paro. And without going into the whole halachic analysis of why he did this and how he justified what he did, he really should not have married the daughter of Paro. And as a result, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos 56b that at the moment of Shlomo's marriage to the daughter of Paro, God began to form the nucleus of the future of the Roman Empire, which ultimately destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. And with that, we're moving on to part two of the song. Because just like building a house and protecting a city is ultimately in Hashem's hands, we have to do our part, and Hashem then enables it to be successful. So too is having children and even raising children. Pasuk Gimel, Hine Nachlas Hashem Banim. Behold, children are the inheritance of Hashem, the gift from Hashem. Sachar Pri Baten, the fruit of the womb, is a reward for our efforts. And that's a simple understanding of this, that we shouldn't take children and childbirth for granted. But I'd like to continue the next few psukim through the eyes of Rashi. Because Rashi explains, who are these children? These children are referring to those who are our Talmidim, who are our students, and also those who are influenced by us, not necessarily in a classroom, but they're influenced by the way that we act. We're a good influence when we live our life understanding that we have to work hard, make our efforts, and at the same time understand that Hashem is taking care of us. People who are able to balance their efforts and their bitachon, their trust, their belief in Hashem. The ones who put time into learning Torah and living Torah and not saying, I don't have time because I have to busy myself with the physical world. Hashem will enable those people to have an influence over others. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Now we're going to describe these children, these students, those who are influenced by us. Kechitzim biyad gibor kein b'nei hanu'urim. Like arrows in the hands of a gibor, of a strong man, so are the children of our youth. When we're young, we work hard. And at the same time, we have emuna, and it's very impressive. When we're older and we can't work hard, our emuna, our belief, is not the same type of inspiration. Yes, it's inspirational, but it's a different type of inspirational for a different song of Tehillim. So the children, the people who have learned from us, they become like chitzim, like arrows that are shot out from that hand of the gibor, of that strong person. The arrow can go so far and still hit and reach the target. Think about people who you haven't seen in so many years, but they still have a positive effect on you from what they did, what they said, what they showed you so many years earlier. Ashrei hagever asher milei es ashpaso mehem. Praiseworthy is the man who fills his quiver with all these arrows, who has all these people who are inspired and who have learned from him. Lo yevoshu, they shall not be shamed, ki yedabru es oivim bashar, when they speak with the enemies at the gates. What is going on here with these children, with these students, with these people who are influenced by this wonderful man of bitachon, of trust in Hashem? All people encounter adversity, some type of a form of Yetzer Hara, either by people who are serving as an external Yetzer Hara or by our internal Yetzer Hara. But it's that Yetzer Hara that tells us in some way that they don't agree with our way of life. They push us to think, unlike our mentor, unlike our teacher, that we have to control every single thing in our physical world and that we can control the physical world in its entirety. But we can't. And what happens is we have these gates. And the gates represent who do we allow in, what influence do we allow in, and what influence don't we allow in. So that when these voices, whether they be external or internal voices, they start arguing with us, they start being this negative influence, they will not have power. Lo yevoshu, those students, those children will not be ashamed. They will not make a mistake with the gates, with letting in the wrong influences. In other words, when you are a proper model for your child, when you are a proper model for your student, when you're a proper model for people around you, you will have a positive impact on those people. That is an outcome you can control. So while we realize that we can't control the outcome in the physical world, only Hashem does, we can, in a spiritual sense, we can control the outcome because our modeling, our own understanding that Hashem ultimately decides what's right and what's wrong for us, that will inspire the next generation and those around us in the present. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Sonia Finkelstein, Chanasara Bas Chaim Leib.